The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I am Michael Hoke, your host. Glad to have you with us on Fundraising Monday here on KKFI. As you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City, where we are in the midst of our fundraising activities for the for now early summer, I would say, activities going on. And you can help support community radio by calling our pledge line. 888-931-0901. And as we always try to remind you, you can pledge online as well by going to kkfi.org and supporting the radio station in that way. Listener contributions are the most important source of funding here at KKFI. Your dollars provide 75% of our annual operating revenue, and that's what keeps KKFI on the air. You support your favorite programs, and you're listening now. So pledge now to keep this program and all of the other programs that matter to you on the air. Pledge what you can to help pay for the amazingly wonderful programs that you hear only here on KKFI. Pledging is easy, it's quick, it's secure, and more to the point, it's absolutely essential if you want to keep this great community radio station on the air. We have a team of phone answerers in there right now. There's three of them. Do they want their names said? If they want their names said, they'll say something. They'll wave or something. So there's three of them in there right now. They're doing a great job right now. Of course, the idea of this being your radio station only really goes so far. If you actually own the station, can you imagine that, owning this station? You'd get a bill from the electric company every month to the tune of about $2,000, and that's just what it takes to send the signal to the tower. The beauty of community radio is that you get the benefit of that $24,000 signal in your home and car, and all you have to do is pay what you see fit. That's the beauty of us here at KKFI. Your gift, together with those of your friends and neighbors, add up to what is needed to make KKFI a great radio station. In order to keep KKFI listening, it is time for us to call on you for your community to keep our voice alive through this KKFI pledge drive. Our theme, as it were, we have a theme often for the fund drive. Our theme this time is the sounds of a vibrant community. And boy, is that ever true. It's a vibrant community. There's a jazz community, a blues community, a public affairs community, an arts community, of which this show, there's actually several art shows on the air on KKFI. And we're really proud of that because we're able to cover more of the local art scene than we've ever been able to cover before. And that's with your help. So when you dial the phone number 888-931-0901 or go on our website at kkfi.org, you help to support KKFI and its mission. While most commercial radio stations listen to their advertisers, KKFI listens to you, those of you out in the community. Our mission is to provide a voice for you, reflected in the unique arts programming, unique music that you want to hear, to talk about the issues that impact your life, not necessarily the products advertisers want you to buy. Commercial radio depends on ads to pay their bills, but at KKFI, we depend on you, you and the community, to help us pay all of our bills so that we can continue to build a strong and dynamic community all together. And that's what this fund drive is all about, what it's always about. It shouldn't matter that KKFI receives no operating funds from federal or state government. It shouldn't matter whether the business support for KKFI goes up or down with the economy. The news and public affairs you get from KKFI shouldn't be dependent on the whims of Washington, politicos, or the moods of the market. And it won't be, as long as you make a pledge. Listeners are our most reliable source of income, as I said earlier, making up 75% of our annual budget. The quality of what you hear every day is a direct reflection of listener support that we receive. Ensure, please, that quality continues. The number to call, 888-931-0901, or you can pledge online. For some people, that's just easier to do. That is KKFI.org. More in just a little bit. I have my guests from, and guests are always from the community, always the arts type activities they have going on, which is really a wide range of things, let me tell you. I talk to so many different people all the time. One of the people I talk to on a fairly regular basis is Jennifer Owen. She is the Owen with the Owen Cox Dance Group. She is the artistic director. She's a dancer herself, has danced all around the world. She a wealth of information in that. She has a show coming up this week, Ludus Tonalis, otherwise known as the Play of Tones, and that's coming up this Sunday, June the 7th, at 2 o'clock p.m. in the White Recital Hall, the next performance of the Owen Cox Group. Lots of things to talk about. Welcome back to our microphones, Jennifer Owen.
Thank you, Michael.
Nice to have you here once again. You have several shows every year, or more than several. You have, was it four or five, maybe more performances?
Yeah, three, four, five, sometimes more, sometimes fewer. Mm-hmm. We have quite a few projects this year. So this is completing our season. However, we do have some additional summer programs. Friends of Alvin Ailey will be participating in Festival on the Vine at the end of June and the Kansas City Dance Festival in July as well. But this is our final major production of the year, Ludus Tonalis. We've been gearing up for it for several months and are very excited to premiere two works on this program. So
yeah, you always collaborate so well with other groups. I know that's a funny word to use, but I think it's a correct word to use. You get together with other groups, other artists, and you put your various talents together and make a show out of that. Is that, to a degree, is that what Ludus Tonalis is about?
Well, yes. This project, we're working with pianist Kairi Koshoyeva, who is an incredible musician. We collaborated with her on the Goldberg Variations 2 years ago, so we're thrilled once again to have her perform Ludus Tonalis with us. And Elizabeth Salane will be performing Bach Partita No. 3, and I've been fortunate to work with her on two other projects in the past, and so it's wonderful to get to work with her again. And the music for both of these pieces is just extraordinary, absolutely beautiful and inventive. And so my hope is the choreography helps bring the music to life through movement.
Ludus Tonalis, I should just give up, the Play of Tones. Does it have a particular story to it?
No, it is really all about the music. The music is a masterwork of counterpoint, a 20th century counterpoint by Paul Hindemith. And there are many, many sections to the piece, and every other section is a prelude followed by a fugue. So the fugues have a three-part fugal line, and so the choreography reflects each of the lines within the three parts. So they interconnect, and it's really fun to see what's happening in the music with the dancers on stage. So it is a lot of fun to see and listen to.
Yeah, you'll be on the stage of the White Recital Hall on the campus of UMKC. For those of you who don't know, the Helen Spencer Theater on campus is undergoing a major renovation these days, and that will make it a little more difficult to get into the White Recital Hall. But, hey, artists don't let little things like that stop them.
That's right. We'll still be performing, and if there's any confusion, don't worry. You can still get into the building. The west door will be open, as well as the door by the loading dock on the east side, right next to the parking lot. The entrance by the loading dock is ADA compliant. So if you don't want to face any stairs, that would be the entrance to take. But there will be signs, and we'll have volunteers out helping guide patrons. So
yeah, if you're the kind of person that likes to do insider stuff, when you enter on that loading dock, that is where the rep actors hang out.
That's right. That's where the backstage.
Right. See the shop, you know, the scene shop. You'll walk past that. And, so you'll get a slight view of behind the scenes as walk in. But it's not that far. You just walk down the hall straight west. Then you're going to hang a left at the main hallway. Then you can head up to the White Recital Hall. If you enter from the west side, I guess you need to go up one floor.
I believe so, yes. Yeah. Yes. And we will have signs and people helping to guide patrons. So not to worry.
Yeah. Ludus Tonalis will be happening this Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m., of course, in the White Recital Hall. The number to call for more information, this is the one you want, the 235 number I have here?
Yes.
We don't want to give her a personal cell number. She has a young child. You'll be waking that child up at all hours. 816-235-6222. That's the number to call. What about online, Jennifer? OwenCoxDance.org?
Yes, that will direct people to the ticket link, so yes, that's a good one to go to.
Yeah, how far ahead of time do you plan these things? I mean, the ladies you have on the bill with you, not even to mention the dancers yet, which I'm going to, they both have really busy schedules. Is Carrie still with Park University?
She is teaching a few different places. I don't believe she's still at Park, but she, I believe, is at Rockhurst, although she can probably tell you more about. She's performing quite a bit, doing a lot of concerts. So, and Ludus Tonalis is a really challenging and beautiful body of work for her to be performing. And it's very exciting to perform with live music, because there's a relationship between the musician performing and the dancers, and everyone has to be very, very aware of what's going on and in the moment, which creates this, you know, extra energy that is beautiful to experience for an audience member as well as a performer.
You also have Elizabeth Sue Lane. She has a group called Bach Aria Soloists, and you've performed in collaboration with them in the past as well. Elizabeth will be playing the violin, I guess.
Yes. She will be performing Bach Partita No. 3, which is a gorgeous piece of music. And she's had it in her repertoire for a long, long, long time. And so we're excited to perform to her interpretation of the work. And we've had some fun staging it. She will be incorporated in the dance in a nice way, I believe, that if we didn't have a live musician performing with us, that wouldn't be an option. So she gets to become a part of the dance.
So those are the musicians. Jennifer herself is a dancer. She's also a choreographer, the artistic director of Owen Cox. Will you be dancing? Will you be dancing and choreographing?
I will not be dancing for this project, and I'm very grateful for that, because it's a very involved both of these works are very complex, and I need to be able to step back and direct, and it's much more rewarding to be able to put my energy right there in that direction, rather than trying to wear too many hats, because I feel like it's some parts might suffer if I'm not able to really focus on what looks the best.
Wearing different hats, it takes a skill set to it. Our friend Beth Bird wears many different hats.
Yes.
She especially likes that purple one with the feather, right? But that's a great hat.
And she wears different noses, too, I believe. Is that right?
Oh, last week it was Red Nose Day. Did you wear a red nose for Red Nose Day?
I didn't.
Did you make all your dancers wear red noses?
No.
Just for the rehearsal.
Oh, that would have probably made things a lot more fun. But no.
It probably would have. I imagine rehearsal for dance numbers, it can be pretty grueling.
Long days, yes.
I'll bet. Would you like to talk about the dances that will be involved?
Yes, we have a fabulous cast. We have 8 dancers performing with us. Would you like me to list them all?
Oh, sure.
Well, several are members of the Kansas City Ballet, and we're very lucky to get to work with them during their summer layoff. We have Whitney Huell, Molly Wagner, Michael Davis, Jeffrey Kropp, and Taryn Mejia. They're Kansas City Ballet dancers. We also have Jeff Wolf, who has danced with us on numerous projects. He's coming in from Chicago to work with us. He's a fabulous dancer. And we have Walker Martin, who is guesting with us from Oklahoma City Ballet. And Holly DeWitt, who is a Kansas City favorite, who has performed quite a bit with Williams Henry and has recently been working with us. We love working with her. And so it's a really wonderful group of dancers, and they just look fantastic and work together so beautifully. And all of them have a very keen sense of musicality, which is really essential for this project. And it's really just a delight to see the pieces coming to life.
Yeah, musicality. I suppose I'd heard the word before, but it didn't really come into prominence for me, at least, till I started watching some excerpts from Dancing of the Stars. The judges would talk about the contestants' musicality. Is that something that comes with experience? It sounds like it probably does.
It does come with experience, but it's also innate. I think it's something that people are born with, and For dancers in particular, you can see it at a pretty young age.
In past years, would they have used the term, for instance, Jennifer has rhythm?
Oh,
is that the same thing? Different?
It's a different way of saying it. Yeah. There's a certain way of staying within the musical form, but accentuating certain aspects of the music that can make something particularly enjoyable to watch. If there's a sense of musicality being presented that way. And speaking of the music, I did bring a CD. If you'd like to play just an excerpt.
I think we can do that.
Now, this is actually an excerpt from Ludus Tonalis. It is the first interludium, but it's not actually the first section. The first section of the piece is the preludium, and one really interesting detail to mention is the piece starts with the preludium and ends with the postludium, and Hindemith was such a clever composer, the postludium is actually the preludium reversed and upside down, so it's a retrograde inversion, actually. So we're not going to play that on the air, but if you come see the dance performance, you will see how the dancers reflect that retrograde inversion at the end. So it begins with the preludium and then ends with the same piece of music that is reversed and inverted. So anyway, so this is the first interludium, which is a solo performed by male dancer Walker Martin, and it's a lot of fun. It's very high energy. So
okay. Here's the music. You can't see the dancer, but imagine. In your mind.
Yes.
from Ludus Tonalis. The way it's very active and then it slows down right at the end. Is that good for the dancers?
Oh, it's great. And actually the solo is a lot of fun because it's very dynamic. And at the very end, the dancer kind of dances up to Kyrie at the piano and just has this little head nod like, thank you, that was fun. I think Hindemith has a lot of sense of humor, or has a great sense of humor with the piece. Ludus Tonalis means play of tones, and so he's really playing around with the counterpoint, and it's a really playful piece. When he, I guess in the score, and it's not in the score that we have a copy of, but in the original score, he drew little cartoon animals on the pages. So it almost looks like a children's book, little lions and elephants. And so he was having a really good time in writing the music. And I think in listening to the music, you might find some playfulness in it, but I think the dance will really highlight that aspect of it. It can also sound very serious, particularly in some of the fugues and some of the interludia, but it's very playful, and I think that's what the dance can really help bring out. So it'll be a lot of fun, and it's very beautiful too. I mean, some of the sections are more serious and fluid, and if you'd like to play another section, I could direct you to another one, or if we could not.
What number would it be on the track?
Well, let's see, maybe number 5.
Okay.
That's the pastoral.
Let's see if that loads up for me. We have a new system here, and I'm not as well versed in that as I should be. But while we're waiting for that to load,
sure.
And putting all these pieces together. Mm-hmm. You have two musicians. Sometimes you have more things going on than that. Sometimes you have you have film behind the actors.
Right. Yes.
Things like that.
We often collaborate with visual artists as well as musicians and costume designers. We've been fortunate to work with Nate Fors on numerous projects in the past. He's done video design for us and costume design. And the costume designer for these two pieces that we're performing this Sunday is Lisa Choles, and we've worked with her quite a bit, and she has done some beautiful, beautiful costumes. So
just putting everything together.
Everything together.
Is that the most, and that would be your job, of course.
Well, for the most part, yes. We do have a new operations manager this year, and she has just been amazing because our organization has grown. We're very fortunate, and in the past, Brad and I have been, you know, the key staff. We kind of wear all the hats and, you know, do all the minute details. But now Joanne Sandorfi is our operations manager, and she is very organized and takes care of a lot of things so I can focus on the artistic side, which has been just a wonderful relief and a gift. So.
I'll bet so. If you have to worry about everything like that, that would be very difficult indeed. If you can concentrate just on the artistic aspect, that's what you're trained in, although you've probably become very learned in
I've
the
learned
other
a lot
aspects
of things,
well.
Yes, and I'm sure there's a lot more to learn as well. But and we also recently had a baby a year ago, so that's, you know, added a new family member to the mix, and so, you know, time isn't quite what it used to be.
Oh, sure, that's still yet another Owen Cox production.
That's right.
That's the way we say it.
And she loves music.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Two parents, the one very much involved in music, the other in dancing and music.
Yeah.
It would be unusual if the child were not involved with music
That's
at all.
True.
It would be very much. The performance is this Sunday, June the 7th, in the White Recital Hall. That's on the campus of UMKC. If you just tuned in, yes, White Recital Hall is still going to be open, even though the renovation of the Spencer, the whole side of the Spencer, but especially the front of the building. So the side that you're used to entering is not the one you will enter. You will enter from the lower level on the west side or walk around to the east side where the loading dock is. They'll have ramps and signs set up.
And volunteers directing people, so please don't be deterred.
Not at all. Yeah, you'll get to see the Owen Cox group with Carrie
Koshoyeva.
You're so good at that. Because Jennifer speaks fluent Russian, so we can understand that. And Elizabeth Sulane mm-hmm. from Bach Aria Soloist, as well as the fine dancers that Jennifer talked about, all will be there for this Sunday's performance, the Sunday the 7th, White Recital Hall, 2 o'clock p.m., the number to call for more information. And I'm thinking this is probably the central ticket office number.
Yes.
816-235-6222. The same number you would call if you were seeing a regular performance there, a rep performance, a UMKC performance. Same number, 816-235-6222. Or you can go online and make these same arrangements at the Owen Cox website, mm-hmm. owencoxdance.org. Same White Recital Hall, same Performing Arts Center at UMKC. Just while the renovation is over, until the renovation is over, you'll have to go in different entrances to
yes.
get there. Otherwise, everything else pretty much remains the same. A fine dance group, lots of experienced dancers, musicians,
yeah.
and you'll get to see firsthand how Jennifer pulls all of these aspects together to make a show out of it. That's what you've been doing for years now, so collaborations probably is something you always wanted to do, mm-hmm. I'm going to imagine.
Yes. Oh, and one other thing I should have mentioned, Ludus Dalis is rarely performed in concert, and as far as we know, it's never been choreographed to. I looked, you know, online, could not find any dance production to this piece of music, and I'm really surprised because it is so ideal for choreography, but it's also a wonderful opportunity for us to perform it for the first time with dance. So.
Yeah, well, that's a feather in your cap. The first time choreographed, and you did it.
Well, in the process.
In the process. She has until Sunday to get it done. The dentist would probably rather it were done now.
Well, yeah, we have tomorrow. We're going to stop learning choreography after tomorrow, and then Wednesday we'll do our run through.
Oh, so you don't run it up? You don't give notes until the rare?
No. Oh, we've been doing that, too, but it's a very involved piece. So
well, I know directors that do that to actors.
Yeah.
There are changes in notes right up until the opening curtain is pulled.
Yeah, I want to make sure people are confident and happy and not trying to remember the steps. They're just ready to, you know, be free out there and dance.
Well, thanks for being with us and telling us about it. Ludus Tonalis, also known as Play of Tones, will happen this Sunday, June the 7th at 2 o'clock p.m. at the White Recital Hall on the campus of UMKC in the same building, the Performing Arts Center. Different entrance than usual. Same building, of course. The number to call for more information, 816-235-6222 or online at owencoxdance.org. If you MapQuest things and you need the address, it's 4949 Cherry on the campus of UMKC. I want to thank my guest, Jennifer Owens, the director, artistic director, sometimes dancer, sometimes many things, probably many other things as well, with the Owen Cox Dance Group. Say hello to your husband, the composer, I guess.
Yes.
Would be safe to call him.
Yes. Composer, musician, my better half.
Well, I wouldn't say better. We'll go with that.
I would.
Okay. Thanks so much for being with us. Remember, call our pledge line for helping support Community Radio KKFI. The pledge line number is 888-931-0901, and you can also pledge online at kkfi.org. More on that and our next guest when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame!
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. In an early scene from the disaster flick San Andreas, a reporter interviewing a rescue worker writes in her notes, "cute but dumb." And that pretty much sums up the movie, too. San Andreas has all the visual bells and whistles you'd expect from a $100 million movie, and the producers hope you'll see it in one of those 3D surround sound theaters with vibrating seats. Dwayne The Rock Johnson stars as an L.A. Fire Department helicopter rescue pilot who travels to San Francisco to save his daughter after the big one hits. The eye candy is cool and The Rock is solid, but even in surround sound theaters, the shakiest thing about San Andreas is its corny script. An Honest Liar is a thought-provoking documentary about magician and professional debunker James Randi, better known as The Amazing Randi. For most of his 86 years, he's used his knowledge of the tricks of the magic trade to expose so-called psychics, faith healers, and con men. Talking heads include fans and friends like Alice Cooper, Bill Nye the Science Guy, and Penn Jillette, but also his longtime nemesis, professed psychic Uri Geller and faith healer Peter Popoff. The movie really gets intriguing when Randi sets up some fake psychics whom he coaches on ways to fool researchers even under strict scientific controls. The movie's title, An Honest Liar, is an example of truth in advertising. Also opening this week, from the We Really Don't Need This file, comes the gross-out horror flick The Human Centipede 3, starring Eric Roberts. Bradley Cooper, Emma Stone, and Rachel McAdams star in the latest romantic comedy from filmmaker Cameron Crowe called Aloha. And Ben Kingsley and Jonas Armstrong star in Walking with the Enemy, a true story about a Hungarian Jew who poses as a Nazi during World War II. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Freeze Frame!
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. An anonymous donor has sent us some money along the way, so we'll respect that. Thank you, anonymous donor. Thank you for that. And Leslie, you're going to be mad at me, Leslie. Porius? Thank you for your contribution as well during that last segment. To help support community radio right here on KKFI, while most commercial radio stations listen to their advertisers, KKFI, of course, listens to you, the community. And, you know, it shouldn't matter that KKFI receives no operating funds from the state or the federal government. And it shouldn't matter whether business support for KKFI goes up or down with the community, the news and public affairs, cultural programs you get from KKFI shouldn't be dependent on the whims of Washington politicos or the mood of the markets, and it won't be as long as you make a pledge. Listeners are our most reliable source of income. The quality of what you hear every day is a direct reflection of the listener support that we receive. Ensure that that quality continues. What would KKFI be like if it counted on commercials for most of its money? Probably wouldn't sound the same at all. We would try to do our best to bring you the same amount of news and public affairs, but that probably wouldn't happen. We'd have other things that we'd have to concentrate on. So if we counted on the state and federal governments for money, well, government radio doesn't have a very nice ring to it, does it? But we also would be at the mercy of budget cutting and things like that. You wouldn't want that. Listener-supported stands for radio about you, for you, and in a very real sense, by you. We're here because you want us here, not because of some profit motive, not because of some government objective. We rely on the listeners, on you, to make KKFI worth hearing. So the number to call in this segment for more information is 888-931-0901 or on the web at kkfi.org. Back here on the Arts Magazine Show, I'm Michael Hogue, your host. We talk to people all over the community. Talk to Owen Cox Dance in the first half of the program. During this half of the program, we're going to journey out west. Yes, indeed. Theater in the Park is beginning another season. That is one of the most attended community theaters in the area. And with us to tell us all about it is Tim Baer. He is the producing artistic director for Johnson County Theater in the Park since 1970. Well, not you personally. But I remember it started way back in 1970.
I was barely alive. Okay, not barely. I was alive, yes.
I was alive. 1970. So you've been there a long time in the park. And let me tell you, folks, things have changed in the park quite a bit since then, 1970. A lot since 1990, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. We started actually in Antioch Park in 1970 on a few little platforms made of wood, and it was so popular, and there were so many cars that the neighbors said, "Boy, we love this musical theater. Move away, will you?
To a bigger location.
Take it someplace different." So we went out to Shawnee Mission Park.
Yeah, Shawnee Mission Park, which is out west. I have the address here. 7710 Renner Road, Shawnee, technically Shawnee. If you MapQuest things, you need the zip code 66218. They have a website, and the map and all of that is at the website, theaterinthepark.org. But it's been grown just about every year in size and in scope, and improvements have been made. It's it's not such a rustic theater experience anymore.
It's not. In fact, last year we got brand new dressing rooms for all of our actors
that are actually
air conditioned. So we've taken a notch up on our street cred out at Theater in the Park.
I remember years ago, and even as recent as 1990, there was the concrete platform for the stage, and then there was a little building out back. So when they didn't have the scenery up, you could see that little building in the back, and I guess that's where all the actors changed.
Yes, that is actually correct.
Yes.
And interestingly, they eventually added two more little metal, let's just call them huts for now.
Yes.
And then one of those metal huts got knocked over, and we put brand new dressing rooms in, which are really beautiful. And there are 27 dressing stations in each side, both men and women, of course, and air conditioned. And now we're very civilized. It's nice. It might be 100 degrees on stage, but you can go in your dressing room and get a little fresh air.
Well, that's nice. Well, they can take a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have many amenities. Let's see, a 5-show season, not counting the movies in the park. You also
have
movies in the park.
We do. We started doing movies a couple of summers ago, and basically, generally they're pretty family friendly. We've got a lot of good movies coming this year, and we do them in the Tuesday following our opening weekends, of course. So we have 5 during our season, and then we do 3 extra movies on Saturdays leading up to the Labor Day holiday, which, of course, the symphony plays their Labor Day concert at Theater in the Park. So it's something, once school gets started and we're just not ready to give up summer yet, you can bring your kids out and see a movie on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess you're probably hoping the rain will stay away.
Holy
for
cow.
This coming weekend.
Let me tell you, the grass looks so beautiful at Theater in the Park right now.
It does, yeah.
But the poor guys out there, Tyler's one of the fellas that keeps track of all our theater in the park lawn and everything. I swear he's mowing grass every 3 days. It's crazy, but it's going to be like sitting on a nice green carpet.
Yeah.
By the time we open this Friday.
Oh, yeah. Well, The Wiz is the show that opens it up starting this weekend, and it'll play for 2 weekends?
2 weekends. We open on Fridays, and then we do our first weekend Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then the next week, we do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So Saturday's our closing performance so that we can get that show out and get the next show in and start our tech rehearsals.
Now, the list of shows, and I might have them in the wrong order, so you correct me, opens with The Wiz. Then several weeks later, West Side Story,
mm-hmm.
The Secret Garden. Oh, that's always a
beautiful show.
The Secret Garden. Annie Warbucks, which isn't Annie per se. I guess it's sort of a sequel to Annie.
It is the ongoing story of everybody's little favorite redhead. Yes. Daddy Warbucks adopts her, but there are some ne'er-do-wells in the story. And
there are?
Yes, there are. And some mean lady comes in and says, you can't keep Annie unless you get married within a certain period of time. Well, spoiler alert, but she's the ne'er-do-well. But we've got lots of characters that you know from Annie. Of course, Annie's there, and Daddy Warbucks, and Grace Farrell, and all the Annie characters that you'll love to see.
I didn't realize there was a sequel.
Yes, it's really a very sweet show, actually.
Yeah. And then after that, I guess the final show in the summer is Shrek, your big green friend.
Our big green friend, Shrek. Yeah, and this year we're doing something special, which we did a couple of years ago with Hairspray, is we're co-producing the show with the White Theater at the Jewish Community Center. So it plays there at the White Theater for, I think, about 3 weeks. You can check their website, too.
Yeah, you did that last summer, too, didn't you?
No, just the summer before that with Hairspray.
Okay.
Yeah, so this will be the second time we've done it, and it worked out so well for us and for the White Theater, too, that we've decided this is a really great show to do it. You know, when something this big, Shrek is a very, very big show. So when we're able to share the cost of the hard production with another theater or another company, then that's very helpful for us. You know,
so I'll bet.
We're not.
Plus, they have the benefit they can see it outside and inside.
Hey, they can see it inside in air conditioning and love it so much they can come have a picnic and see it again.
Does the show change from inside to outside? Now, the White stage is pretty big. Yours is bigger.
Yeah, ours is like an airfield.
Yeah.
You can land a helicopter there. Actually, the White Theater, I think the opening of the stage there is 40 feet, and the opening of our stage at Theater in the Park is 60 feet. But we're designing the set so that our stage becomes a little smaller at the park. So when we're done at the J, there at the White Theater, we pick the set up exactly as it is. Well, we take it apart, but and then we transport it to Theater in the Park, put it exactly the same place and exactly the same size. So it's really just like a little mini tour. It's really wonderful, and it fits on our stage, of course, and there you are.
To the actors, it won't make much difference.
It won't. Let's hope that.
The entrances and the exits will be in the same places.
There won't be raccoons. There won't be snakes. There won't be bugs flying around at the J, we hope.
Well,
we have that to contend with.
You ever hear Carol Burnett tell her Starlight story about the moth?
Oh, yeah.
Things happen in the outdoors.
Things happen.
It's part of the adventure.
That's right.
Think of it as a big adventure.
Exactly. I drove there to the park last summer one time, a short, quick story, but as I came in the big main parking lot of the theater, you know, a deer ran across the pathway. I turned the corner to go down to backstage. There was a turtle walking across the road. And then I drove into where we are backstage, and a raccoon with three little babies ran across the sidewalk just as I was getting out of my car, and I felt like Snow White at Theater in the Park. Wildlife everywhere.
I'll bet. But it's a great setting out there. And
it's beautiful.
It gets bigger and more beautiful with the improvements every year. It's very public friendly.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thanks. And I think we're going to have a very nice, cool summer this year, too. So at least if it ever stops raining.
Oh, sure. Well, everyone is hoping so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's cover the basics that the people might be interested in. Usually people want to know the box office information. How do I get tickets, they say?
You can either go onto our website at theaterinthepark.org, and we have box office where you can get everything right there. You can get tickets to our shows, tickets to movies, all that kind of stuff right there. Or you can come to the box office on performance evenings. So where we do performances Friday through Sunday and then Wednesday through Saturday, and the box office opens at 6 o'clock. So if you're in the neighborhood and you just want to stop by, have a look at the theater and stuff, and then buy your tickets, you can get them there at the box office as well. But the easiest way, really, is to get them online, and then you can just print your tickets at home and show up.
Sure. You have pretty big crowds, so people are probably thinking, well, I want to make sure I get a good seat, the kind of seat I want. So going online then is the best option for doing that?
It is. Although, you know, at Theater in the Park, we really are a park, and most everyone that comes to Theater in the Park brings their lawn chairs or they bring blankets or those kinds of things to sit on. We do have 80 reserved chairs, and you can learn about those on our website as well. But we open the gates to the theater seating area 2 hours before the show begins, and lots of families enjoy coming and bringing picnics and bringing frisbees and balls and playing ball and playing catch and having a picnic and then seeing the show. So you can show up at Theater in the Park at 6:30, and the show doesn't even start till 8:30.
Yeah, now, I have down here that the box office opens at 6.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
And the gates open at 6:30.
Okay. So do they start lining up before then, or is that pretty good timing?
It's pretty good timing. We do open our box office a little early just for folks that like to get there early. You know, some people, again, some people will bring groups of 20, 25, 30, 50 people with picnics and coolers and blankets and all that stuff, and they like to get there right when the box office opens, get their tickets, and get in there and set up their picnic. So, but it's pretty good timing. Really.
Yeah, as I recall, the last time I went, there were certain sections. There was a section for blankets only, as I recall, and then short chairs, folding chairs only.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The most center down section, right down there by the stage, really, there's a big grass section there, is the blankets and low beach chairs, like those chairs you might take to the beach with you, you know, that have 3 or 4 or 5 inch legs on the bottom of them, and they're very short. But it's nice to sit on the ground sometimes if you have a back on your chair, too. So that section specifically is blankets and low chairs. And then every other bit of grass is open seating. You can sit on blankets. You can sit on your lawn chairs that you bring. Lots of people bring nice lounge chairs to sit in. It's really good.
No high chairs, though, because you would block the people behind you.
Yeah, we like people to be mindful and just, you know, don't put your big, tall chair in front of somebody with a blanket. Come on. Be nice.
Yeah, let's be nice. Yeah, that's right. So, again, curtain time for all of the shows are 8:30 p.m. No afternoon matinees. That wouldn't work for a musical with the lights.
It's a little bright outside, yeah. Truly.
So 8:30 p.m. on all the performance nights, and it's always Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And then Wednesday through Saturday, correct.
And then Wednesday through
Saturday. Yeah, and you can, and we have a great calendar of events right on our website, so you can check there if you are specifically looking at an absolute day you want to come, so you can have a look there.
And it's theaterinthepark.org, where you can get a lot of this information. But we like to talk about it, too. We like to chew the fat here.
Exactly.
Get all the inside story on everything. With all the rain that's going on, I know, and we hope that doesn't happen, of course. But they have a rainout policy. You might want to explain that for the folks.
Just in case they
still get to come.
Just in case, yeah. I'll tell you, if you come to our show and it gets rained out, I don't care when it gets rained out, you get to come back and see it again. We want you to be able to see the whole show. I always tell the story about you see The Sound of Music and you wait till the very end to see those Von Trapps walk across that mountain, and 10 minutes before the end of the show it rains and you don't get to see it. It just ruins your whole day, doesn't it, really?
Did they make it?
Spoiler alert. Yes, they do. Apparently. So I've heard.
So no matter when it rains, they can come back.
That's right.
Even if they only missed, even if you had to stop 20 minutes before the end of the show,
they can
still come back.
I want you to see the end of it. We want you to hear the last note of that orchestra.
That's right.
So you get to come back and see it, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's the great thing, the live music that's playing. Does each director get to pick their music director and all of that?
They do. And each music director and conductor chooses the orchestra members. And my goodness, we have such a huge selection of beautifully and marvelously talented musicians in Kansas City, and we're very, very blessed at Theater in the Park that they enjoy playing in the park, too. You know, playing our shows. We have such great musicians that play our shows, and we're very thankful for that.
The acoustics works pretty well in the park.
It really does. We're very newfangled. We have microphones and a pretty good PA system, and and we sit in a bowl, really. You know, our theater is in a little bit of a, I don't know, an impression. So sound is really good there. The acoustics are really great, so you get to hear it all.
I remember saying to my date back in 1991, way back when. I said, you know, this is like a mini Starlight, you know, without all the accoutrements. Well, right. You have the accoutrements now.
We have some of them. We do. I don't think we'll ever be a Starlight.
Well,
you know,
Starlight has improved also.
Sure. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Starlight, too.
I'll bet so. You probably see a lot of things that give you ideas.
I do. We're like Starlight's little brother,
yeah.
I think, you know. And we like that. We're in the same family, although Starlight is, of course, professional, and we're community theater. But I'd like to think, and I think it's our goal, is to be the most professional, non-professional theater that we possibly can be, and to give actors and musicians and dancers and singers and crew people and all that a really great experience from a theatrical standpoint, and also to give the patrons or people that want to see theater, to give them as good a show as possible, too.
Oh, sure. Now, your publicist wanted you on a little earlier before audition weeks, but we weren't able to do that. I'm sorry. Schedule's been too busy. But you might explain how that works. And the date's already passed, but
sure.
The shows, they perform the audition for, is it all the directors at once?
That's correct. We have a general audition, and we audition for every show in our season at the same time. So this year, I think we saw close to 600 people plus that audition for Theater in the Park, and that it all takes place on a weekend, 2 days, a Saturday and a Sunday, and it's all day long from 9 in the morning until whoever signed in by 4 o'clock, we guarantee you we'll see you. So, I mean, sometimes we've gone until 7 or 8 o'clock at night, but every director's there, every choreographer's there, every music director's there, and everybody gets to sing a song, and you get to learn a little dance, and then we get to go through all those 600 people and see who we'd like to get called back and see some more from, you know. And then from there, we have a callback audition and then casting after that.
Actors have told me, said, I went with one show in mind and I got cast in something else.
Exactly, or more than one. Yeah. You know, it is unusual to be able to do more than one show at Theater in the Park in a season because our shows are so close. Mm-hmm. And as of a week from now, I think, all 5 of our shows will be in rehearsal. So even in the moment that The Wiz is in production, we'll still have some shows and, you know, all 5 will be in rehearsal. So as an actor, it would be really difficult to do that unless there's one specific thing maybe in the first show and the last show. It's possible. But even this year, because we're doing a co-production with the Jewish Community Center and the White Theater, that show opens there 4 weeks before, you know, we would open at the park with it generally. So even there, it's very hard to do 2 shows.
I'll bet so, yeah. I know one time actors were saying, well, which one do I do? Well, I guess they have to pick. It depends. If the director of 2 shows asks them, I guess it's going to be pretty hard for them to make the decision.
It is, but, you know, we do ask people that audition to fill out a preference sheet for us, and it's just exactly for that reason that later down the path, if 2 directors want you in their show, tell us your preference of shows. List all 5 of our shows. Give us your preference of what shows you as an actor would like to be involved in. And then we refer to that list later. You know, if 2 directors are arm wrestling over one person, then we refer to that list and give them really what the actor's preference is.
Oh, sure. Well, actors have come here and told me, and these are actors that are now in professional shows. You know,
yeah.
I either performed there or I auditioned there and I didn't get picked. And don't they wish they had picked me now?
Yeah, exactly. Tell the stories a lot about who performed there and went on to be famous. That's great. Not the big stars that say Theater in the Park wouldn't have me.
Well, it goes both ways. You know, the theater is very competitive.
It is.
And it gives them an early idea of what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Granted, this audition process might have more competition than some would, but still,
it's a lot of people.
Gives them an idea.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Let's go over the shows again for the folks. It opens this weekend with The Wiz. That is a different version. It's not The Wizard of Oz you would have seen at some other places. It's more of an urban Wiz. Excuse me, more of an urban setting.
Right. It is, however, based on the Frank L. Baum book, just like Dorothy and The Wizard of Oz and stuff. But lots of people might remember the movie starring Diana Ross and Michael Jackson, and I think Nipsey Russell was in it. Maybe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You're right. Lots of really cool, groovy tunes. You'll recognize some of the music for sure, but it's not your typical Wizard of Oz.
Sure, and then that'll run for 2 weekends.
That's correct.
Then West Side Story, you know, once you're a jet, you're always a jet.
Once you're a jet, exactly.
That'll run for 2 weekends as well.
Correct.
Then The Secret Garden. I went quickly over that.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you like to tell them about that?
Well, I'm really excited about Secret Garden. I think it has some of the most beautiful music in it of all time. It's just a beautiful, beautiful piece of musical theater. And I'm really excited that my friend Barb Nichols and Martha Risser are director and vocal director for that show. And Barb and Martha and I have a long history together. Almost 30 years ago, I worked with Barb and Martha when we did Oklahoma and West Side Story at the park back in the early 80s, I think. And it's been a while since Barb and Martha have been at the park doing a show, so I'm really excited that they're back with us again. And I get to have a look at them, and they get to put another show on stage for us.
Oh, yeah. I've had Barb Nichols on several times this year.
I'm sure.
For different shows.
Yes.
Usually as a director, but this time twice as a performer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she gets around.
In a
good way. She knows what she's doing. Yeah.
So that'll be The Secret Garden, again for 2 weeks. Then Annie Warbucks, the sequel to the original Annie.
That's right. Yeah, and all of, again, for those of you that think, oh, I don't know, Annie, is Annie going to be there? Yeah, I assure you, Annie's going to be there.
Yeah.
In her curly red hair, and Daddy Warbucks and Grace Farrell, all your favorites.
Then the closing show of the season, again, Shrek. I make fun of the green, but
yes.
You can't resist.
It's an ogre-rific adventure, I'm telling you.
It pretty much is. Any special effects in any of the shows this season? I'll never forget the Titanic production you did a bunch of years ago. You actually tipped that ship.
Did it sink? I wasn't here, so I didn't see it.
It did go down eventually. But not until all the songs were sung.
Yes, until they were all sung.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, from a special effects standpoint, you know, Shrek is pretty heavy, because we all know what Shrek looks like, right,
yeah.
From the cartoon, and
oh, yeah.
He's a phenomenon. So it's going to take us quite a little while to get him in that makeup. There's lots of foam prosthetic involved and a good couple of hours of spray paint. And, you know, I don't know, depending on how hard it is to get him in and out of that makeup, he just may have to live in it for a couple of weeks.
I would think so.
I don't know.
Yeah. In fact, once you get into all that, it's probably worth it to have shows back-to-back.
Yeah, totally. Right? Exactly.
It probably would be worth it.
And we actually have the good fortune this year, too, with Shrek that, you know, it involves a dragon. And we are working with Paul Messner Puppets, okay. And a nice 20-foot-long, bright pink, gurgly dragon with big old teeth and eyelashes and eyes that flash. And so that's a good special effect for us, too.
Oh, yeah. Paul always does a good job.
He does great work.
He does a great job. So there you have it, the season. It starts this Friday, 8:30 p.m. at Theater in the Park. You can purchase tickets online or at the box office. Online would be theaterinthepark.org. Then, if you want a chance coming up and getting at the box office, and I joke about that, but the crowds are considerable, probably this first weekend, probably
yeah.
more so than not. 7710 Renner Road, Shawnee, Kansas, if you map quest 66218, but is it on the west side of where 435 comes down?
It is just the west side. So we're just basically at the junction of 435 and Shawnee Mission Parkway,
yes.
Just south and the tiniest bit west of there.
And as you drive in, you may see deer.
You certainly may.
Last time I did, I think I did see deer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Box office opens at 6 p.m., and they will admit you as early as 6:30, and bring your Frisbee, bring your picnic basket, although you have things available for purchase.
Yes, and you can find all that stuff on our website, too, for sure.
Theaterinthepark.org. I want to thank my guest, Tim Baer, the producing artistic director. It's getting exciting for him now. All the preparation, a lot of the preparation is done, and now the actual...
Friday, all the fun starts.
That's right. You'll be even busier than
that's
you have
right.
been before.
Truly.
Jim Baer, producing artistic director, Theater in the Park. Once again, theaterinthepark.org, 7710 Renner Road, Shawnee, Kansas. And if you MapQuest, the zip code, of course, is 66218, but just west of I-435 as you follow Renner Road down there. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And don't forget us here at KKFI. We're in the middle of our summer fun drive right now. Our theme is the sound of a vibrant community, and that we are. We are a vibrant community. Just think of all the different things that we do here on KKFI. You have art shows. We talk about theater. Art Speak Radio, poets, visual art, things of that nature. Other programs are on during the week. All kinds of things can be talked about here. Get to know KKFI. Get to know the program schedule. There are things that you definitely will want to hear, be it jazz, blues, eclectic, folk, all over the dial, all over the calendar. You need to get yourself, you need to go to our website, kkfi.org, get you a program schedule to see all of the options you have, because they are considerable. So the number you need to call to make a pledge is 888-931-0901. And, of course, you can pledge online at kkfi.org. KKFI listens to you. And we feed back, and the programs you want to hear, more of them can come your way, as we do here on a community radio station. Glad to have you as a listener. Thank you for your support over the years. Hope that it continues. The number to call, once again, 888-931-0901, or on the web at kkfi.org. We rely on the listeners, on you, to make KKFI worth hearing. We're here because you want us here, not because of some profit motive, not because of some government-sponsored objective. Listener-supported stands for radio about you, for you, and in a very real sense, by you. We're all volunteers from the community as well. Thank you so much for your support over the years. Once again, the number to call, 888-931-0901. If you're a fan of jazz, the Jazz Insider is next. There'll be jazz, some really good jazz, too. Jazz from 1 to 3, and then the blues this afternoon. KKFI is known for its jazz and blues. So jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here.